Chapter 52. Walter goes away. The wooden midshipman at the instrument maker's door, like the hard-hearted little midshipman he was, remained supremely indifferent to Walter's going away, even when the very last day of his sojourn in the back parlor was on the decline. With his quadrant at his round black knob of an eye, and his figure in its old attitude of indomitable alacrity, the midshipman displayed his elfin small clothes to the best advantage, and, absorbed in scientific pursuits, had no sympathy with worldly concerns. He was so far the creature of circumstances, that a dry day covered him with dust, and a misty day peppered him with little bits of soot, and a wet day brightened up his tarnished uniform for the moment, and a very hot day blistered him, but otherwise he was a callous, obdurate, conceited midshipman, intent on his own discoveries, and caring as little for what went on about him, terrestrially, as Archimedes at the taking of Syracuse. Such a midshipman he seemed to be, at least, in the then position of domestic affairs. Walter eyed him kindly many a time in passing in and out, and poor old soul, when Walter was not there, would come and lean against the doorpost, resting his weary wig, as near the shoe buckles of the guardian genius of his trade and shop as he could. But no fierce idol with a mouth from ear to ear, and a murderous visage made of parrot's feathers, was ever more indifferent to the appeals of its savage votaries, than was the midshipman to these marks of attachment. Walter's heart felt heavy as he looked round his old bedroom, up among the parapets and chimney pots, and thought that one more night already darkening would close his acquaintance with it, perhaps forever. Dismantled of his little stock of books and pictures, it looked coldly and reproachfully on him for his desertion, and had already a foreshadowing upon it of its coming strangeness. A few hours more, apostrophe thought Walter, and no dream I ever had here, when I was a schoolboy will be so little mine as this old room. The dream may come back in my sleep, and I may return waking to this place, it may be. But the dream, at least, will serve no other master, and the room may have a score, and every one of them may change, neglect, misuse it. Apostrophe, but his uncle was not to be left alone in the little back parlor, where he was then sitting by himself. For Captain Cuttle, considerate in his roughness, stayed away against his will, purposely that they should have some talk together unobserved. So Walter, newly returned home from his last day's bustle, descended briskly, to bear him company. Uncle, apostrophe he said gaily, laying his hand upon the old man's shoulder, what shall I send you home from Barbados? Apostrophe, apostrophe, hope, my dear Wally. Hope that we shall meet again, on this side of the grave. Send me as much of that as you can. Apostrophe, so I will, uncle. I have enough and to spare, and I'll not be chary of it. And as to lively turtles, and limes for Captain Cuttle's punch, and preserves for you on Sundays, and all that sort of thing, why I'll send you shiploads, uncle, when I'm rich enough. Apostrophe, old soul wiped his spectacles, and faintly smiled. That's right, uncle. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Walter, merrily, and clapping him half a dozen times more upon the shoulder. You cheer up me. I'll cheer up you. We'll be as gay as larks tomorrow morning, uncle, and we'll fly as high. As to my anticipations, they are singing out of sight now. Wally, my dear boy, apostrophe, returned the old man, I'll do my best, I'll do my best. Apostrophe, and your best, uncle, apostrophe, said Walter, with his pleasant laugh, is the best that I know. You will not forget what you're to send me, uncle? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, Wally, no, apostrophe, replied the old man. Everything I hear about Miss Dombey, now that she is left alone, poor lamb, I'll write. I fear it won't be much though, Wally. Apostrophe, why, I'll tell you what, uncle, apostrophe, said Walter, after a moment's hesitation, I have just been up there. Apostrophe, 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 murmured the old man, raising his eyebrows, and his spectacles with them. Not to see her, apostrophe said Walter, though I could have seen her, I dare say, if I had asked, Mr. Domney being out of town. But to say a parting word to Susan, I thought I might venture to do that, you know, under the circumstances, and remembering when I saw Miss Domney last. Apostrophe, yes, my boy, yes, apostrophe replied his uncle, rousing himself from a temporary abstraction. So I saw her, apostrophe pursued Walter, Susan, I mean. And I told her I was off and away tomorrow. And I said, Uncle, that you had always had an interest in Miss Domney since that night when she was here, and always wished her well and happy, and always would be proud and glad to serve her in the least. I thought I might say that, you know, under the circumstances. Don't you think so? Apostrophe, yes, my boy, yes, apostrophe replied his uncle, in the tone as before. And I added, apostrophe pursued Walter, that if she Susan, I mean could ever let you know, either through herself, or Mrs. Richards, or anybody else who might be coming this way, that Miss Domney was well and happy, you would take it very kindly, and would write, so much to me, and I should take it very kindly too. There. Upon my word, uncle, apostrophe said Walter, I scarcely slept all last night through thinking of doing this, and could not make up my mind when I was out, whether to do it or not, and yet I am sure it is the true feeling of my heart, and I should have been quite miserable afterwards, if I had not relieved it. Apostrophe, his honest voice and manner corroborated what he said, and quite established its ingenuousness. So, if you ever see her, uncle, apostrophe said Walter, I mean Miss Domney now and perhaps you may, who knows, tell her how much I felt for her, how much I used to think of her when I was here, how I spoke of her, with the tears in my eyes, uncle, on this last night, before I went away. Tell her that I said I never could forget her gentle manner, or her beautiful face, or her sweet kind disposition, that was better than all. And as I didn't take them from a woman's feet, or a young lady's, only a little innocent child's, apostrophe said Walter. Tell her, if you don't mind, uncle, that I kept those shoes. She'll remember how often they fell off that night and took them away with me as a remembrance. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they were at that very moment going out at the door in one of Walter's trunks. A porter carrying off his baggage on a truck for shipment at the docks on board the Sun and Air had got possession of them, and wheeled them away under the very eye of the insensible midshipman before their owner had well finished speaking. But that ancient mariner might have been excused his insensibility to the treasure as it rolled away. For, under his eye at the same moment, accurately within his range of observation, coming full into the sphere of his startled and intensely wide-awake lookout, were Florence and Susan Nipper. Florence looking up into his face half timidly, and receiving the whole shock of his wooden ogling. More than this, they passed into the shop, and passed in at the parlor door, before they were observed by anybody but the midshipman. And Walter, having his back to the door, would have known nothing of their apparition even then, but for seeing his uncle spring out of his own chair, and nearly tumble over another. Why, uncle! Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Walter. What's the matter? Apostrophe, old Solomon replied, Miss Domney. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is it possible? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Walter, looking round and starting up in his turn. Here. Apostrophe, why, it was so possible and so actual, that, while the words were on his lips, Florence hurried past him, took Uncle Sol's snuff-colored lapels, one in each hand, kissed him on the cheek, and turning, gave her hand to Walter with a simple truth and earnestness, that was her own, and no one else's in the world. Going away, Walter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Florence. Yes, Miss Domney, apostrophe, he replied, but not so hopefully as he endeavored. I have a voyage before me. Apostrophe, and your uncle, apostrophe, said Florence, looking back at Solomon. He is sorry you are going, I am sure. Ah, I see he is. Dear Walter, I am very sorry too. apostrophe, goodness knows, apostrophe, exclaimed Miss Nipper. There's a many we could spare instead, if numbers is a object. Mrs. Pipchin as a overseer would come cheaper their weight in gold, and if a knowledge of black slavery should be required, them Blimmers is the very people for the situation. Apostrophe, with that Miss Nipper untied her bonnet strings, and alter looking vacantly for some moments into a little black teapot that was set forth with the usual homely service on the table, shook her head and a tin canister, and began unasked to make the tea. In the meantime Florence had turned again to the instrument maker, who was as full of admiration as surprise. So grown, apostrophe, said old soul. So improved. And yet not altered. Just the same. Apostrophe, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Florence. Yes, apostrophe, returned old soul, rubbing his hand slowly, and considering the matter half aloud, as something pensive in the bright eyes looking at him arrested his attention. Yes, that expression was in the younger face too. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you remember me, apostrophe, said Florence with a smile, and what a little creature I was then. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear young lady, apostrophe, returned the instrument maker, how could I forget you, often as I have thought of you, and heard of you since. At the very moment, indeed, when you came in, Wally was talking about you to me, and leaving messages for you, and apostrophe, was he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Florence. Thank you, Walter. Oh, thank you, Walter. I was afraid you might be going away and hardly thinking of me. Apostrophe, and again she gave him her little hand so freely and so faithfully that Walter held it for some moments in his own, and could not bear to let it go. Yet Walter did not hold it as he might have held it once, nor did its touch awaken those old daydreams of his boyhood, that had floated past him sometimes even lately, and confused him with their indistinct and broken shapes. The purity and innocence of her endearing manner, and its perfect trustfulness, and the undisguised regard for him that lay so deeply seated in her constant eyes, and glowed upon her fair face through the smile, that shaded for less, it was a smile too sad to brighten it, were not of their romantic race. They brought back to his thoughts the early deathbed he had seen her tending, and the love the child had borne her. And on the wings of such remembrances she seemed to rise up, far above his idle fancies, into clearer and serener air. I am afraid I must call you Walter's uncle, sir, apostrophe, said Florence to the old man, if you will let me. Apostrophe, my dear young lady, apostrophe, cried old soul. Let you? Good gracious. Apostrophe, we always knew you by that name, and talked of you, apostrophe, said Florence, glancing round, and sighing gently. The nice old parlor. Just the same. How well I recollect it. Apostrophe, old soul looked first at her, then at his nephew, and then rubbed his hands, and rubbed his spectacles, and said below his breath, ah, time, time, time. Apostrophe, apostrophe, there was a short silence, during which Susan Nipper skillfully impounded two extra cups and saucers from the cupboard, and awaited the drawing of the tea with a thoughtful air. I want to tell Walter's uncle, apostrophe, said Florence, laying her hand timidly upon the old man's as it rested on the table, to bespeak his attention, something that I am anxious about. He is going to be left alone, and if he will allow me, not to take Walter's place, for that I couldn't do, but to be his true friend, and help him, if I ever can, while Walter is away, I shall be very much obliged to him indeed. Will you? May I, Walter's uncle? Apostrophe, the instrument maker, without speaking, put her hand to his lips, and Susan Nipper, leaning back with her arms crossed, in the chair of presidency into which she had voted herself, bit one end of her bonnet strings, and heaved a gentle sigh as she looked up at the skylight. You will let me come to see you, apostrophe, said Florence, when I can, and you will tell me everything about yourself and Walter. And you will have no secrets from Susan when she comes, and I do not, but will confide in us, and trust us, and rely upon us. And you will try to let us be a comfort to you? Will you, Walter's uncle? Apostrophe, the sweet face looking into his, the gentle pleading eyes, the soft voice, and the light touch on his arm, made the more winning by a child's respect and honor for his age, that gave to all an air of graceful doubt and modest hesitation ease, and her natural earnestness, so overcame the poor old instrument maker, that he only answered, Wally, say a word for me, my dear. I'm very grateful. Apostrophe, no, Walter, apostrophe returned Florence with her quiet smile. Say nothing for him, if you please. I understand him very well, and we must learn to talk together without you, dear Walter. Apostrophe, the regretful tone in which she said these latter words, touched Walter more than all the rest. Miss Florence, apostrophe, he replied, with an effort to recover the cheerful manner he had preserved. While talking with his uncle, I know no more than my uncle what to say in acknowledgement of such kindness, I am sure. But what could I say, after all, if I had the power of talking for an hour, except that it is like you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Susan Nipper began upon a new part of her bonnet string, and nodded at the skylight, in approval of the sentiment expressed. Oh! But, Walter, apostrophe, said Florence, there is something that I wish to say to you before you go away, and you must call me Florence, if you please, and not speak like a stranger. Apostrophe, like a stranger. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Walter, no. I couldn't speak so. I am sure, at least, I couldn't feel like one. Apostrophe, but that is not enough, and is not what I mean. For, Walter, apostrophe, added Florence, bursting into tears, he liked you very much, and said before he died, that he was fond of you, and said, remember Walter, and if he will be a brother to me, Walter, now that he is gone, and I have none on earth, I'll be your sister all my life, and think of you like one wherever we may be. This is what I wish to say, dear Walter, but I cannot say it as I would, because my heart is full. Apostrophe, and in its fullness and its sweet simplicity, she held out both her hands to him. Walter, taking them, stooped down and touched the tearful face that neither shrunk nor turned away, nor reddened as he did so, but looked up at him with confidence and truth. In that one moment, every shadow of doubt or agitation passed away from Walter's soul. It seemed to him that he responded to her innocent appeal, beside the dead child's bed. And, in the solemn presence he had seen there, pledged himself to cherish and protect her very image, in his Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.